Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tosim lifneihem. Klal Yisrael have finally made it out of Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael have received the Torah. Klal Yisrael have become the Am Nivcha, the chosen nation. And Klal Yisrael are now receiving the civil laws. Most of the Mefarshim ask, what is Peshat Ve'ele ha-mishpatim? Why is this a ve'ele, the vav? So Rashi says, kol mokim shneme ele, posal es harishon. Every time it says ele, is a new beginning. Ve'ele, with a vav, and these, moisif al harishonim. They add on, they're in addition to the previous parasha. Ma harishonim is Sinai, just a previous halachas were from Sinai. Af elum is Sinai, so too these are also from Sinai. So obviously one has to ask ourselves, what is a limud behind this? What is to come to teach us? Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu was not thinking up these halachas himself. If you work through the halachas and parashas Mishpatim, within two or three psukim, you have the whole Maseches Bava Kama. Another two or three psukim, you have the whole Maseches Bava Metzia. I mean, obviously, this is not Moshe Rabbeinu thinking up these halachas. This is Ruach HaKodesh. This is Rabbeinu Shalom's Torah coming through here in the strongest, most clear way. Therefore, what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu made up himself. So what's the Ve'ele HaMishpatim? Ve'ele Moisif Al HaRishonim, adding on to the previous ones. Obviously they came from Sinai. What's a Chiddush? Ve'ele HaMishpatim. Secondly, the example that the Torah gave as these are the Mishpatim is extremely worrying. Not even difficult to understand, it's worrying. In other words, the first introduction to civil law is, Rabbi Isai, how do we deal with a Jewish thief? Not how should you lend money, and not how on earth should you deal with Shmita, like later on in the parasha. What should he do with a Jewish thief? In other words, this is something that is a given, that Jews steal, Jews are thieves, and therefore how do we deal with a Jewish thief? Rabbi Isai, maybe they do, maybe sometimes Nebuch, Klal Yisrael fall into a situation where some yidden steal. But I can tell you I feel very safe in the Jewish neighborhood. Yeah, and Baruch Hashem, very often I leave my door open at night, yeah, by mistake, and very often, Baruch Hashem, next morning, nothing happens, Baruch Hashem. Where do I live? I'm not telling you where I live. and these, you know, and the bike's left outside, nothing happens, you know, the hubcaps are still on the next morning. Some Jews do still, but not. It's not a Jewish phenomena that straight away in the first mitzvah of Parshas Mishpatim, oh, when a person buys an Eved Ivri, what's going on? Secondly, within the halachas of Eved Ivri, the halachas are very irregular. In other words, these halachas of buying an Eved Ivri with the halachas of a nirtza, of piercing his ear, is only relevant where Yovel is noyheg. Where you have Yovel. Now Yovel, the Jubilee year, right? Yovel doesn't apply today. I'm not going into the idea of when it will apply, but it, for major parts of Jewish history, it never applies and it hasn't applied and it doesn't apply. Therefore, why bring a mitzvah that is really quite irrelevant? And thirdly, if you are talking about an Eved Ivri, what you should do to him, would it not be better to start discussing exactly what is Geneva? Discuss what is called stealing, what's not called stealing, and then you start talking about what happens if a person did steal, how he should pay back. But don't start talking about a person who did a crime, a criminal, and then start discussing the crime later on in the parasha. Why is this discussed in this particular way? I must tell you, when you look into the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Balei Musar, any one of the Balei Musar will give you different teretz. Whether it's Darkei Musar, whether it's Chaim Shmuel Levitz, they'll all give you a different teretz. And during the years we've been discussing different teretzim, I want to discuss this year Be'erech Tu Mahalchim, which I believe is a tremendous chiddush and very, very geschmack. The Yunei Chaim, Rav Chaim Shmal, he's a Rav of Goschalk Shul in London, very close friend of my father's. He's got a sefer called Yunei Chaim, Tu Chalokim. And he says something very poshut, very straightforward, but unfortunately, it's missed by so many of us. You know, present company excluded, but it's missed. And he says that you find in Klal Yisrael wonderful, wonderful people. They're people who daven nets every morning. They're people who have shmura matzahs. They're people who don't gabrok. They're people who have special esrog for the chazanish. And they have every chumrah. every chumrah, the way they dress b'tznius, the way they daven with Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, they go to mikveh every morning. Fantastic, and ashrayim, you know, wonderful, wonderful. Baruch Hashem, we had such a thing in Klal Yisrael. But he says, unfortunately, when it comes to an Odom Lechaveroi, a lot of these big machmirim suddenly become big makilim. They become big makilim, and it doesn't, it's not quite as showing itself, the chumrus of an Odom Lechaveroi, as you'd find an Odom Lemakoi. You know, you see people running to Mincha, and, you know, they're dragging the bin bag down the stairs. On every stair, you have a little bit of their leftover cholent, right? And they because running to Mincha, what about on the chaveru? What about these poor people who, until the next week, are going to have the leftovers of your kishka on their stairs? You know, people had a case where, we had a case where I had a neighbor who put an air conditioning unit, and the pipe of the outlet of the water dripped exactly over where I opened my door to my garden. Right? So as he opens the door to the garden, you'd have a big puddle there of his air conditioning unit, and which is very geschmack, you know, sometimes the kids would slip in it, sometimes you'd get, as you're walking out, you get a nice bit of cold water on your head. And I asked him, please, if he doesn't mind extending the pipe all the way to an area where there's a drainage system there. You can take it to the drainage system and put it there. Yeah, yeah, of course, of course, of course. And I asked him again, and I asked him again, and I asked him again. Anyway, had an idea. He came to Shmita, and I said, just by the way, the water goes from the air conditioning unit onto the patio and then drips towards my flowers, which is a grommer, Sophic grommer, a Sophic indirect watering. So when you're turning the air conditioning unit, you're doing a grommer of a grommer of a grommer, but maybe you have to be machmir, maybe you've got to worry about it. The indirect, indirect, indirect. Maybe go, yeah, you're right. I promise you. The next day, he had somebody to fix that pipe that should go straight into the drainage system. What happened ben Adam lechaveroi? For a whole year, nothing. Ben Adam lemakoim, the next day. So Baruch Hashem, ben Adam lemakoim, you know, he's doing well. He's a machman hilchus shmita. Ben Adam lechaveroi, what's going on? So he says, and he says, that is pshat. Ve'eile hamishpatim. You know, we had Har Sinai, right? We had the Kabbalah Satorah, we had Anoich Hashem Lekecha, Emunah, and Betochen, and Shabbos, and all these wonderful mitzvahs of Ben Adam Lamakoi. And you all remember all those, right? Ve'ela HaMishpatim. These are the dinim Ben Adam Lechaveroi. And you know what? These also came from Sinai. These also came from Sinai. You've got to be machmir with them, just as you machmir with an Adam Lamakoi. Ve'ela HaMishpatim. These also came from Sinai. Don't forget that. We've got to get into our kishkas. People look for chumras after chumras after chumras. Reb Scheinberg says over and over again, looking for a chumra, do a chumra ben Adam Lechaveroi. That's where you do the chumra. Ben Adam Lechaveroi, do a chumra. People talk about, you know, their children touching a car on Shabbos. Oh, muksa! One second, it's a drabbanon. And not even moving the car. It's not even a... But muksa, it's not your car, gezel! Don't touch things that don't belong to you. Ben Adam Lechaveroi, fantastic. Adam Lechaveroi, alapanim. Right? That's Ve'ele. Ve'ele HaMishpatim. Just like those Ben Adam Lamakim came from Sinai, Ve'ele, this came from Sinai too, remember that. The Malbim says, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Yisro, he says to him, Ki Yeh Lehem Dovo Bo'elai. When they have a question, in Halacha they come to me. What's the obvious kasher on this, asked the Malbim? Ki Yeh Lehem Dovo, what should it say? Bo'im Elai, they come to me. What ki lehem dovo bo elai? One of them come to me. Says Amalbim, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Yisroi, this is Klal Yisroel. Klal Yisroel, when they have a shaila ben Adam Lechaveroi, they don't come as a fight between two people arguing about who's entitled to what. If we have a shaila, one of them comes and asks me, what should I do? This person, I think I may owe him money. I may have stolen from him. I may have been mazik him. I may have damaged him. What am I supposed to do? When it's machlek, when it's a shayla, when Adam lechaveroi, boy lie, the person who's supposed to come and ask me a shayla comes and asks me a shayla. People ask chicken shaylas, whether this chicken is kosher, whether this is kosher, this is a gezeis, this is a gebet, all these different shaylas. But when it comes to money, no, it's gefelach. Okay, that's what he's saying over here. Ve'ela mishpatim, this also from Sinai. Get that clear. Now, What has that got to do with Eved Ivri? So this is a Peshat which I'm not sure whether I saw or whether I think it's Posh Peshat. When a person wants to respect another person, Adam Lechaveroi, one wants to respect people who deserve respect. People who are Tamil Chachamim, people who are a mensch to you. You've got a neighbor who's behaving in a fashion that is deserving of respect. I'll behave to him in a respectful way. But what happens if you have a neighbor, you know, who's got loud music playing every night, and he parks his car right in front of your driving spot, and he drops the garbage as he drops it all the way outside the house, he drops it out. I've got to respect him. I've got to be a mensch to him. I've got to make sure that I keep the noise down at night because of him. Says Apostle, I want to give you an idea over here. Ben Odom Lechaveroi is not applying to between you and the Chofetz Chaim. Ben Odom Lechaveroi applies to, number one, to an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is a Jewish gangster. It's somebody who Nebuch does not behave properly. He's stolen. He hasn't got money to pay back. He spent that money already. He has not behaved properly. Says the Torah, as an introduction to Ben Odom Lechaveroi, to the halachas of Mishpatim, how to deal between man and man, I've got to teach you, number one, that it's irrelevant who the person is that you're giving the honor to. It's irrelevant who you're giving this kind of monetary respect to. It depends on you. You've got to do what you have to do. This person's an Eved Ivri? On the contrary, Kitoiv Loyimoch. There's halachas in the parasha, you've got to be good to him. You've got to treat him with respect. And you've got to treat him such respect that he's got to want to stay in your house. These are halachas. It's irrelevant that he misbehaved. That's not your problem. What you have to deal with is the fact that he is a human being who is a Jew. Even if a goy, there's certain, obviously some halachas apply to a goyim as well. Most halachas apply to goyim as well. And therefore, you've got to treat him with respect. Kitoiv Loyimoch. But the shayla is a very, very complicated shayla. Let's understand this carefully. The Pasuk Dalet says, "Im adoinav yitin loy isha, if his master gives him an isha, v'yolda loy bonim, and he has children with his isha, sons or daughters, her isha v'ilodeha, this woman and the children, tia ladoneo, should be to the master, for who yetzi bekapo, and he will leave without this woman." Now, which woman are we talking about? What kind of woman is a husband is this Odin giving him? Now, we all know it's referring to a Shifcha Kananis. A Shifcha Kananis? A Shifcha Kananis is a quasi-semi-Jewish woman who's been through a certain geirus, but is certainly not a Jewish woman. Yep, she's a Canaanite semi-Jewish woman. Complicated the state, but she's certainly not Jewish, and certainly every regular Jew may not marry her. It's an Issa Deraisa to have any relations with this woman. Issa Deraisa. Correct? Isn't right, Lysia Kodesh. It's also the right to have any connection with this woman. Happens to be that in this particular case, if a person is sold as an Eved Ivri because he's a Ganav, not only is a master allowed to give an Eved Kanani, and is he allowed to be with this Eved Kanani, he is obliged to be with this Eved Kanani. It's part of the Avdus. It's part of the slavery that he's got to produce little slaves for the master. In other words, it happens to be a case where this Jew did some kind of fancy Ponzi plan, right? Some kind of scandal, monetary scandal. The whole thing fell apart, and now he hasn't got money to pay back. And now, not only is he sold as a slave, he's got to be with his non-Jewish woman, where everywhere else on Torah says completely also. Now, let's understand this. This Jew, this Eved Ivri, who is sold as Eved Ivri, he's got to keep Shabbos. He's got to shake Lulav and Esrog. He's got to put tefillin on every day. He's got to keep all these halachas. He's got to keep every single mitzvah saseh, everything.
Even the banana lechaveros.
He's got to keep on lechaveros, everything, exactly. He's got to keep every single halacha. He's got no excuse. One halacha, when it comes to a non-Jewish woman, which the Torah so much abhors, you know, this intermarriage is something which is absolutely terrible. With this, the Torah says, no, you be with this non-Jewish woman, or this semi-Jewish woman. What's the idea? It's a monetary issue, and suddenly he's dealing with a non-Jewish woman. What's the idea here? So Shamshon Falhish says a fantastic, fantastic vort. He says, the whole idea of an Eved Ivri going into slavery is not a punishment. It's not a punishment. Slavery here is not slavery. You're not forcing this person to start digging middle of the night for gold. That's not what it's talking about. This Eved Ivri is rehabilitated. He's taken into a home where people are out there to look out for his good. The Gemara says, "Kitoiv lo imach" means it's going to be good by you, which means if there's one cold bottle of beer in the fridge, if the master drinks it himself, then it's not toivloy, it's not good for him, because Ebed is treated now like a second class citizen. So the halacha says, in that particular case, the Ebed is the one who has a bottle of beer. Because otherwise, not toivloy imach. So you come into the house, and you see one guy sitting on the only bed in the house, drinking a bottle of beer, you'd have a very strange concept of who exactly is the Eved and who's the master. And that's what the Gemara actually says. Whoever buys the Eved for himself, as if he bought a master for himself. That is a kind of respect to give an Eved Ivri. You can't make him do anything that's unnecessary. You've got to treat him with honor and respect. You've got to treat him as if he's your master sometimes. That is ad kedei kach. There's no chayecha koidimin. Okay? It's a chiddush. It does not apply with an Eved Ivri. It does not apply. That is the kind of respect you've got to give him. Not only that, which gas station employs a person who is a criminal? You know, you got to show, when you want to pump gas, you got to show they have no criminal record. Right? Here, he's not pumping gas. I'm taking him into my house. He's going to be sitting by my Seder night. He's going to be sitting in my sukkah. Right? He is part of my family. You know, in the morning, we got to go to Shachris, I'll give him a knock at the door. Or he gives me a knock at the door. It depends how well I trained him. But this is an Eved Ivri. He's part of the household. He's sleeping in the same room as my kids. That isn't Eved Ivri. It's rehabilitation. That's what's going on over here. And you got to treat him so well that he says, I don't want to leave. That's how well you got to treat him. It's wrong for him to say that, but he should be leaving. But that's how well, that is the environment that he's living in. Why does he work for these 6 years? Says Rishon Shem Fol Hirsch. He says six is the idea of natural. Seven, as we all know in the Torah, is supernatural. Six is physical. Seven is supernatural. 6 days of the week, seventh day Shabbos, 6 years, seventh year Shemitah, six cycles of things, and then the 49th year is, 50th year is Yovel. In other words, it's six, and the seventh is something special. When a person steals, when a person goes and deliberately takes money from somebody else, is because he's lost focus of what is really important in life. He is focusing on six. He is focusing on myself. He is focusing on how do I look after number one. How do I look after myself? That is it. And if it means stealing for somebody else, so be it. Ruchnius, Averus, Nizikin, Gezela, all these halachas, that's very nice, that's not for me. I need to make a panos, I need to worry about myself. It says the Torah, I'm going to make you a position that you're going to actually change your look. Every single morning when you wake up in slavery, thinking to yourself, oh, when is the seventh year going to come? Why, what's special about seven? Seven is supernatural. Every single day that he wakes up, he thinks to himself, I'm in the physical, but I'm looking forward to the spiritual. I'm working today because that's what I have to do, but that's not what life is all about. What life is all about is the Shabbos, is connecting with the Rebbeinu Shleilim, is doing the right thing. Everything I'm doing today is ultimately for the idea and for the ideals, to get it into his head that six is not the ideal. Working for yourself as a physical is not the ideal. It's the seventh you've got to work for. It's the ruchnius you've got to work for. And if it means being a little bit less six, having a little bit less money, and not being able to afford the holiday, it doesn't matter, because it's what's important is the seven, and that's the idea behind the sixes and the sevens. Says Rishon Shem Fol Hirsch, listen to this carefully. This person stole. This person is worrying about six. He's worrying about physicality. He's worrying about who he is, and it makes no difference to him bechlal other people's money. Correct, Gershon? Mm-hmm. Says Rabbi Yishlam, you know what? You're a big tzaddik. You are not. You're keeping all the halachas and adon the mokoy. You're shaking nice lulav, eating nice matzah. You're being separated from shifchos because you're kodosh, because you're holy. So, Rabbi Yishlam, you know what? I don't need all that. Be together with the shiksa. Be together with the Shivcha Kananis. You know why? Because if you don't have an Adam Nechaveroi, as far as I'm concerned, you have no Ben Adam Nechaveroi either. And therefore you stole. So what? I stole. I messed up an Adam Nechaveroi. So what's wrong with my Ben Adam Nechaveroi? If you mess up an Adam Nechaveroi, you have no Ben Adam Nechaveroi either. Hashem said, I'm not interested. You want to bring me a Korban that's stolen? I don't want that Korban. And that's why, said the Beis HaLevi, Parshas Mishpatim comes between the Seres HaDibros and Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma is all about giving to the base of Mikdash, first know that every single penny you got is not stolen. Because I'm not interested in Ben Odom Lamokim if it's on the Cheshbon of Ben Odom Lachaveri. Yes, you're an Eved Ivri. Ben Odom Lachaveri is going very badly. Ben Odom Lamokim, be with this Shiksa. Be with this bit of Kodesh. Be with this non-Jewish woman. Because that is, as far as I'm concerned, where you're holding. Very powerful. Ve'ela HaMishpotim, most of it in Rishon. We can't make a split. We cannot be big kedoshim. We cannot be holy when it comes to Ben Odom Lamokim if we do not have this fundamental appreciation that Ben Odom Lachaveira is just as important. There is a very, very important piece that Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about in Drush Chof Hei. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a sefer called Dorash Moshe, and every parasha he gives a lot of the little short divrei Torah. It's in English as well, and it's really two chalokim. There is the back of his sefer. I think about 30 droshes he gave. Which, if you work through the drushes, some on Siyumim, some on Sukkah, some on Yom Neroi, there's one drush he gave, which is absolutely outstanding, and that is a drush of Parshas Mishpatim. And he brings this in Parshas Mishpatim to connect, in a regular year, Parshas Mishpatim actually is one of the four parshas. Usually Parshas Mishpatim falls with Shabbos Shkolim. Yeah? So he introduces what the connection between Parshas Mishpatim is with Shabbos Shkolim. There's Shkolim, as you know, there's Shabbos Shkolim, there's Parshas Shkolim, there's Parshas Zohar, Parshas Porah, and Parshas HaChodesh, those four Parshas. And he connects and he says an unbelievable concept. If you have to get this clear, and if you understand this carefully, you understand a psychological understanding behind every single motive of every human being. And that, he says, is the introduction to Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim is understanding the concept of believing that certain things I am going to get pulled into, I'm going to be enticed into doing something wrong, unless I understand the lesson of an Eved Ivri. In other words, Eved Ivri is the primer, is the introduction, is the parasha that warns you against everything else in Parshas Mishpatim. And if you get this clear, you have nothing else to worry about Parshas Mishpatim. Just follow the book and you'll be fine. He says as follows. He said there are three principles, the three fundamental elements that drive the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara uses to propel the human being to terrible places. A is wealth. Wealth. Inherited wealth. Even if a person didn't work for it, no, didn't use his intellect, b'chlal, he inherited health, wealth. There's a certain element that wealth produces a respect within human beings. You know, a stretch limo is driving down the street, you make room for him. If a public school teacher who's working hard to educate a class is driving this beat up space wagon, then he's not interested. He's not a man. Nah. A big man, a wealthy person, even if he hasn't done a day's work in his life. You know, in England you have these lords where they inherit their lordship from the previous generation, and they have these rambling estates worth millions and millions. And all they basically do is go out once a week, and they go out with on the horses and shoot dead these little foxes. You know, wow, you know, bang hell, chap, jolly good shot. You know, and they get all the covered and they, you know, the House of Law, and they've done nothing, and people respect them. You know, little tweed hats and, you know, Range Rovers and everyone respects the people that have money. And these people who work hard for Parnassah, you know, these doctors and these nurses, and hasn't made it, he's nothing. That's wealth. Number two is power. Power can come in many, many different forms. It could be this big tough kid in the playground, the bully, everyone bows down to him, everyone gives him their school lunch, everyone makes room for him. No, that's a bully. It could be a bully in many other places. It could be a bully in a workplace. You can have a boss who he happened to work for him and he needs a job, and he could be the powerful person that ultimately is, you know, the one who is people respect because he has the potential power to manipulate your life. Okay? You know, you can have a person in a parking lot. He is in charge of the parking lot. He is a king of the parking lot. If he allows you to come in to the parking lot, he'll allow you in. If there's plenty of places and doesn't allow you in, tough luck. He is in charge. It corrupts. Power corrupts. There's no doubt about it. You know, or you can have the politician. You can have a politician, not in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, but in other places. You get the politicians that they have the power through a campaign or through the voters, and they're corrupt, and they have a power to corrupt the society. So therefore, the second one is power. The third one is, anyone else think? So the first one is wealth, second one is power, third one, intellect. Intellect. A person who is a sharp intellectual, a scientist, he may not have any power, right? He may not have any wealth, but he's intellectually superior. He has decided that everything he understands is reality. What he doesn't understand ceases to exist. There's no God because I can't scientifically prove it. Yes, he can, okay, but if I can, then I'm not in control of science either. And therefore, intellect is the third passion that the Yetzer Hara uses in order to stir a person in the wrong direction. So there's wealth, there's power, there's intellect. Communists, you have to believe what we believe. You don't believe in that? Siberia. We don't have a Gehenna, we'll create our own. Right? That is the idea of intellect. And that is what the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says in Tes Chof Beis, Ki Oma Hashem. This is a famous Pasuk, we say the end of the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av. Al Yishalel Chacham Chachmosoi, Val Yishalel Giboy Begvurosoi, Val Yishalel Oshi Begvurosoi. Don't be a Balgaiva the Chacham with your Chachma, nor the Giboy, the strong man with your Gvura, nor the Oshir, the wealthy man with his wealth. Ki, says the Pasuk, what should you be interested in? He says, Ki, Ki im bezois is halal hamishalal. Only this you should take pleasure in. Haskel vayeda oisik en yashem. Use your seichel. Use your intellect to know that I'm Hashem. Oise chesed mishpot at stoko. Ki be'ele chafas nu'um Hashem. Use your koyach. Use your strength. Use your money to do chesed, that's what I want. Use your intellect. Use your power. And use your wealth to do avodas Hashem. So those are the three things. Okay? Anything, any Havera person does is based on those three concepts. What are you looking for? Are you looking for wealth? Are you looking for power or glory? Or are you looking for intellectual, is that that's what I want to make myself feel better than intellectually? Think about it. Says R' Moshe Feinstein that there is no greater threat for a person to mess up on those three things than a person buying an Eved Ivri. Okay, a person buying an Eved Ivri ultimately is in the greatest nesoyin, is in the greatest trap of falling to those three things. Number one, wealth. Okay, I'm the rich man. This fellow couldn't afford to live by himself. I bought him. I'm in charge of him. So he gets a Balgaiva. Look at me. Look how wealthy I am. I have five or six Eved Ivri. In the morning, flick my fingers, all come along. One brings my Tehillim. Another one brings him my towel for the mikveh. Another one makes me a coffee. That's Oshir, Gavaldig. Look at Oshir. Look at wealth I have. It's a wealthy man doing this. Second one is, of course, well understood is, what's a B? Power. Power. Yes, master. Yes, master. I can tell my Eved to do anything I want. Yes. Everything he has to do for me, he has to subjugate himself to me. He is totally subjugated to my whims. That is the ultimate level of power. Okay? And the third one is, what we're dealing here with, an Eved Ivri who requires education. I'll teach this fellow a lesson or two. I'll teach him how to behave himself in the future. He's an Eved Ivri, he's gone off the derech. It's my responsibility to make sure this chap, yeah, is become a little bit more, gets a bit more sense into his head. I will educate him. And therefore, this person buys an Eved Ivri has wealth, power, and intellect that has a chances to make him into a very bad person. Says the Torah, no. You can use all the worst cocktail of Averis and use it for the correct thing. You can make this home a nurturing home. You can take him and bring him in. And he can be Shalal Yishalal. You can use all the virtues that you have of intellect, of power, and of wealth, and to make this a haven for this person in this world. So that is the koyach that the Odoin has over the Eved, is these three particular elements, and the Torah tells them what to do with them. Now, let's look at the Eved. How did the Eved get to this position? Because he messed up on various different ideas. Number one, he felt to himself, look, why should I work so hard? Why should I go and work every day paving streets? Why should I go and work every day stacking shelves? I have a set of tools. I have a particular gevurah to me. I have a strength to me that very few people have. I can climb up drain pipes. I can break into cars. I can hotwire cars. Why should I work so hard? Look at me. I'm something. I'm glib. I'm quick. I'm talented. That is obviously power. He feels he has a power that can bring him money where nobody else can make that kind of money. He can outsmart anyone. He's got this set of tools. He's got this set of power. That is what he can do. That is a power. The third one, what's the second one? Because third on the list. That is intellect. Intellect is, I got to intellectualize. I got to allow myself to allow such a terrible crime to happen for me to go along and steal something from somebody else. So what do? How can I take somebody else's property? How can I break into somebody else's house? Ah, come on. This person's so wealthy, he'll never miss his thing in the first place. He has got this Ming Dynasty vase lying on his shelf. It's collecting dust. I can take it and I can actually profit from it. I can feed my family. I can marry off my daughter. So he's intellectualizing. And therefore he's using his intellect for the wrong thing. So that is a C. Now asks Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch few very important questions. He says, if you look in... Oh, sorry, Moshe Feinstein asks a few very important lessons. He says, in Din of a Nirtzah, yes, what do you do to a Nirtzah? You pierce his ear. When do you pierce his ear? The end of 6 years. When he says, I have this Ishlis Bonai, then you pierce his ear. Says the Pasuk, says the Mephoroshim, why do you pierce his ear? Because Oizen Zu. This ear who heard the mitzvah leisignoiv, yes, you got to pierce the ear. Now, 1 second. If the piercing of the ear is a fact that he heard leisignoiv, pierce every ganav's ear immediately. As soon as you find out to be a ganav, whether he can pay back or not, pierce his ear. What's this idea of piercing his ear only the 6th year and only a ganav that was actually sold? Pierce every ganav's ear leisignoiv. Okay? Number two, where does he pierce his ear? You pierce his ear, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that you pierce his ear next to Delis and the Mezuzah. Okay? Why Delis and Mezuzah? You don't stand pierce his ear on any door. It's got to be a door that is connected to two lentils and the doorpost and two lentils, right? Lentil?
Lintel.
Lintel with a T. Lintel and two doorposts with an I. Lintel and two doorposts. That is where the door has got to be, not a trap door. That's where it's got to be. Why? Says the Gemara. Because that reminds us, obviously, it's been shrine that the blood was sprinkled on the Shaposach, and Kosh Brocha jumped over to remind us. What has that got to do with a fellow who did a Ponzi scheme? Blood was sprinkled on the doorpost in Mitzrayim. That's where you're going to get his doorpost. What's going on over here? Not only that, it's nothing to do with the doorpost. Rashi says, you can't even do it on the doorpost. You've got to do it on the door that is next to the doorpost. So what's that all about? Says Ramesha, listen to this carefully. A ganav who steals is using his strength that he believes he has, which is unique. That is corrupting his power. He is corrupting his intellect. But it could be that the fact that he stole it was not because he wanted the money, because he was desperate for the money. He did it because he was desperate to please the family. He wasn't doing it because that is what he wanted to do. It wasn't because it was a choice. He didn't have any choice in the matter. Okay? He had no choice.
Excuse me a second.
Yeah, he had no choice. It wasn't because it was a decision that wealth is so important. It wasn't wealth is so important. A posh got to feed the family. Says the Torah, you know what? After 6 years, you've got plenty of money. The Odin sends you out after 6 years with a package to leave, with a retirement package. So why are you staying? Why are you allowing somebody else to be your master? You know why? Because quite frankly, very simply, I believe a wealthy man is everything. I prefer to stay in a wealthy man's house and be his eved rather than being a eved of Rabbeinu Shlomo. Wealth to me is everything. That is who I worship. I don't worship a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I worship a wealthy man. You have A, you have B, and you have C. You have somebody who has corrupted wealth, a person who has corrupted power, and a person who has corrupted the concept of intellect. Okay? Got it? He is now in the avdus of an Odoin who could theoretically also corrupt his wealth that he bought in, his power that he has over this Eved, and the intellect that he has an obligation to educate him. Says the Torah, the Odoin has got to take now this Eved and take him to a doorpost. What is this doorpost? What is this lintel? What is this all about? What is a door? A door is a figure of choice. Opening the door allows people in. Closing the door allows makes sure people stay out. It is an absolute symbol of choice. In other words, if a person is taken to a door, we're saying, listen, young man, listen, Eved Ivri, what are your choices over here? What are your choices? What is this all about? Where are you? What are you doing? You know what you're doing? You're making a big mistake, because look at the doorpost, look at the lintel. What's that all about? The lintel was the top of the door. That is the intellect. It's the top, like the head, the brain is the top of the body. The intellect, that is the intellect. It's the mind working. That is what makes a person stand up. An animal, his head is the same level as his body. The person, human being, his head is above. There's the intellect. The top of the door is the intellect. The right hand side of the door is, see if I don't guess.
Power.
It's power. It's a power. And the left hand side of the door is something that ultimately is weakness, but with an outside strength called money can make it strong. So the right hand side of the door is power. The left hand side of the door is money. And the top of the door is intellect. Says to the Eved, listen, you're still making your decisions based on a false presumption. You still have not got the ideas of what A plus B plus C are supposed to be doing. You're not using Al-Tisala Tisala. You're not using what Kosh Baruch Hu gave you for the right reasons. And therefore, in front of the door, only after the sixth year, where you clearly have enough money now, and still making the Oshir, your God, as it were, you don't want to leave his house, that is when we allow you to get the final message of this less message of a gun of that you have A plus B plus C equals disaster if you don't use it in the correct way. This, says Rav Moshe, is Peshat in the Arba Parashus. Parashus Shkolim is the idea of using your money in the correct way. Rich man, do you know something? However much money you have, you cannot give more than the Oni. You can't give more than a half a shekel to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does not want your money more than he wants the Oni's money, because it's not more special than the Oni is. Don't try and overpower the Oni with your wealth. It doesn't work. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't work. With other people it may work. Not with me, says Hashem. That's Parashat Shkolim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you where you are with your wealth. The next parasha is Parashat Zohar. What's Zohar? Is an ultimate power. Is a Moloch coming along and saying, Klal Yisrael, we're not scared of anybody. We'll jump into this burning hot bath. We don't care. We are going to fight you. That is power. That is a Moloch. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, look what happened to them. Look what happened to Purim. They tried with the power. The most powerful man in the world at the time was completely decimated. That was power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys that. And the third one, Rabbi Yisrael, is so poshut. What is that? Parshas Parah. What's Parah? Chukim. Don't use your intellect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, I will dictate what your intellect should do. So when you have Mishpatim, when you have Shabbos Shkolim, when you have your wealth, when you have your power, and when you have your intellect all under control, then you can come on to Parshas HaChidesh. What's Parshas HaChidesh? The idea of taking the blood and sprinkling it on the two doorposts and the lintel. Why? Because that is, you know, what power, what intellect, and what wealth is all about. So this, says Rav Moshe, is the introduction to Parshas Mishpatim. It's understanding what makes a person tick. It's understanding why a person does what he does. The idea of an Eved Ivri, the idea of being sold for 6 years, we discussed, was Rosh Hashanah Fol Hish, of understanding six is physical. Always look forward to the spiritual. Always worry about the spiritual. We explained, according to Rosh Hashanah Fol Hish Peshat, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows this Eved Ivri, who did something wrong financially, to do something wrong spiritually with regard to marrying in a Shifl Kananis. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says there's no Palgin on here. Don't split those two things up. There's all one element. There's all one concept. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. Ele is most of it in your Rishon. Just that's from Sinai, that's from Sinai too. And we understand this concept that everything, that our wealth, our power, our intellect is from Rabbeinu Shleilam, that we understand this parasha and we can get to this parasha and go through parashas Mishpatim mitzvah after mitzvah, sorting out which mitzvah fits into anything. But we have those three under control, then clearly we will be in a geder. Or like Chazal say, Kim b'zois is halal mishalal. This is what we should be grateful for. We should praise ourselves for Haskel v'yeda oisi kani Hashem. No, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Asay ches mishul stoker ki be'ele chafatzin om Hashem. Because that's what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants.